This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The lights are out.
Hurry, get to the lights, go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7, The Game.
Jones Jr. dribbling in traffic, lost it. Porter Jr. goes to the deck. Draymond gets it to Wiggins, 3-on-2. Left side Curry, he's open, he fires. Three ball, left corner bucket. Timeout Chicago. And they rise as one a chase. And that could do it.
Yeah, 40-point night for Stephen Curry and the Warriors. Oh, about an hour or so ago, mopped up the finishing touches on the Chicago Bulls. Welcome to Inside Chase Center. John Dickinson with you here on Warriors Wrap-Up. 888-957-9570. That is the phone number to participate in the program. You can give me a call or shoot me a text. Again, if you're still hanging out after this one, the Warriors beat the Chicago Bulls tonight 119-93. Warriors led by as many as 27, final margin 26, in a game that they trailed by 10 in the early going, just over 3 minutes to go in the first quarter of this ball game tonight, and the Bulls had a 24-14 lead on the Warriors. A highly intense first quarter of play. Bulls led by three, but from that moment of 24-14 Chicago, again, I think it was the 3:18 mark of the first quarter, this game flipped, and it was all Warriors from that point on. The final 3 minutes plus of the first quarter, and then the final 36 minutes after that, the second, third, and fourth quarters, 105-69 Warriors from that point on. And it all adds up now to a 7-1 homestand and seven consecutive victories after the Warriors returned home following their trip to Sacramento and Oklahoma City. Warriors came back 4-0. They lost the first game coming back off that trip, and then they wind up mopping up Oklahoma City after that. Then it was Charlotte. They handled business against the Pelicans, Rockets, Hawks, Timberwolves, and now the Chicago Bulls tonight to improve to an NBA best 11-1. And look, we talked about it a ton here leading up to the beginning of the season, just how imperative it would be for the Warriors to get off to a good start, to try and build some positive momentum, not only based on the way they finished last season, but to take advantage of really the NBA affording them a complimentary schedule at the start of things. And the Warriors have been able to handle that business to this point with the franchise record tying long 8-game homestand that concludes tonight as the Warriors get ready to head out on the road, where they'll take on Charlotte, Brooklyn, Cleveland, and Detroit. But the Warriors taking advantage and not just taking advantage and eking out these wins against these teams. You run through it and the Warriors just coming up with blowouts against a lot of these teams. When you look at the 26 points they win by tonight, every single win by double digits. And you look at it, there was a 14-point win and a 13-point win. Tonight's 26-point win, and four of the seven wins were by 20 or more. And then obviously the 41-point win going back to the game, what, a week ago tonight, the 41-point win as the Warriors got the job done in that one as they handled their business against a hapless Pelicans team. That one was 126-85 a week ago tonight, but the Warriors taking care of business again as they take on the Bulls, and the Bulls were supposed to be a test, right? No Vucevic tonight, but an improved defensive team. And, look, a pretty good guard line of Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball, but the Warriors have just taken on all comers and hammered them. And they've done it with their defense of their own. This Warriors team has an identity. I think of playing at an extreme pace, but also using excellent defense to ignite their offense. And another big story for this Warriors team to this point in the early going of the season is the third quarter dominance. The Warriors have hammered teams in the third quarters this season, and it was another third quarter barrage tonight, 35-17 for the Warriors in that one tonight after it was a close ball game at the half, and the Warriors just open up a can, and it's a la some of the great teams of the dynasty era where the Warriors would feel out their opponent, maybe not quite be fully engaged, although I thought this team was fully engaged tonight at the top. I thought there was an intense atmosphere. I thought the crowd brought it early, anticipating, hey, this is one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference that's coming in and maybe one of the top two or three tests that the Warriors have had over the course of these first 12 games. But they got down. They were shaky offensively. The Bulls provided that challenge that I think everybody expected, and then the game flipped like so many of these games have, to where it was a close game right around halftime, and then another game where 35-17 in the third tonight. You go back to the Hawks game, it was 41-20 where the Warriors put it on them, a 34-22 third quarter against the Rockets, and then yeah, you look back the Pelicans game, no different, 34-16 in that one, 27-15 in the game against Charlotte, and the Warriors just having their way, 27-14 against Oklahoma City during this streak. It's just been all about the third quarter dominance for this Warriors team as they wind up winning tonight by 26. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors wrap up. John Dickinson inside Chase Center, where the Warriors improved to 11-1 on this young season. Another big night for Stephen Curry as he continues to be the early leader in the clubhouse as far as the MVP race is concerned. 34 minutes for Steph, which is right where Steve Kerr wants him to be. He winds up with 9 of 17 from three-point range. So if you were one of those that was maybe concerned a little bit about, oh, the early three-point shooting, oh, Steph was only at 38.5%. Our pal Matt Steinmetz, I had an opportunity to fill in today on Steiny and Guru here on 95.7 The Game. And Steiny, you know, he's saying, oh, well, slow, a little bit of a slow start. And he's said it in the past. I said, come on. You know it's going to take him maybe one game to put himself in a position. You know, one hot game, and he'll flip that high 30s into the low 40s. And you look at it tonight, the 9 of 17 for Stephen Curry. And he winds up right at 40% now, 64 for 160, right at the 40% marker as the Warriors get it done tonight against the Bulls. 888-957-9570. Let's get to Nick on the phone lines here. It is Warriors Wrap-Up with John Dickinson inside Chase Center. Hey, Nick, you're up first here on Warriors Wrap-Up. What's going on, Nick?
Hi, just wanted to just have some thoughts, you know, about the Warriors'
sure.
way. And when I say way, you know, their play, Warriors style of basketball, how if they can pull it off and get the championship, I'm just hoping it'll change this mentality. Oh, we'll just go get a couple. We'll pull this superstar from here, and we'll get this old veteran superstar there. We'll build this, you know, rather than have an organic functioning team up and down the roster.
Yeah, I think I appreciate the call, Nick. I mean, look, I think there's a number of different ways that teams can go about doing it. I think both have been successful, you know, over the course of time in the NBA. Teams that build it, you know, via the draft and build it via a couple of star players that are homegrown, and then you add other pieces to that. Obviously, the Warriors have what they believe to be a championship core that they haven't seen play together in totality in nearly 2.5 full years on a calendar. When you go back to June the 13th of 2019, when Klay Thompson was injured in game 6 of the finals against Toronto, him and Steph and Draymond, and it's paralyzing the thought when you just run through it, haven't been on the floor together since that night, which we're coming up on what will be 2.5 years. I mean, we're talking 29 months tomorrow is how long it's been since those three have been on the floor. So the Warriors have taken their lumps. They learned, I think, from their mistakes last year in terms of the players that were on the roster. And I got a great nugget as far as the players that were on the roster last year to the players that are on the roster currently that I'll give to you in just a moment. But look, I think the Warriors have found what works for them, and that is a hell of a lot of Steph Curry and Draymond Green engaged and helping them push the pace and defend at an extremely high level. And they fixed the other pieces along the way. They have much more depth, much more versatility, much more shooting, and the pieces just all fit together at a higher level. But they didn't have that a year ago, and they certainly were not equipped a couple of years ago to withstand Steph and Klay Thompson both being out. No team would. But I think they found the right way, and I'll give the Warriors credit for learning from what didn't work a year ago as far as, you know, some of the things that had them get off to, you know, not the best start. And they fixed those things heading into this year. And now you look at it, and this thing is humming. It's humming a lot like it was at the end of last year, but also I think on a whole new level with the offense and the defense being connected. And then you're going to get Klay Thompson back at some point in time. And now you've got younger players developing behind the scenes and earning their way into rotation roles. And I think that's what you saw with a guy like Jonathan Kuminga tonight, who did get some rotation minutes. Why? Maybe because Damian Lee was out tonight, and that meant there was another spot open, but because he had earned it based on the way that he's been able to practice. Let's get to Priest. Priest is up next here on Warriors Wrap Up. What's going on, Priest?
Thanks for taking my call, man. And I agree with Nick. The Warriors are doing it the right way. Everybody was begging them to go out and get this big superstar. They stuck with the plan. Get young players, bring them into the organization, and develop them. The young players that you guys criticized last year, well, they developed. The Jordan Pools, the Damian Lees, all of these JTAs, they're all making big-time plays, as well as the young kids that are coming in, like the Peyton kid. I also want to talk about Kuminga, whom you guys – all you ever talk about is him going to the G League. They're not going to give minutes. They're not ready. That wasn't the G League that I saw tonight. So you guys need to stop hating on these young players. Stop talking about what they can't do and let them go out there and see what they can do. It's just ridiculous the way you guys treat Wiseman and this kid Kuminga. Hey, he doesn't belong. They don't deserve to give minutes. The kid earned it in practice. That's what the coach said.
It's what I just said, Priest. I appreciate the call. I mean, I don't think we're as far off base as you like to make it. At least I'll speak for myself, and I'll say this: Kuminga earned the minutes. He earned the minutes tonight. But up until the point that he was getting the minutes that he got tonight, he hadn't earned the minutes that he got tonight. And it's going to be the same thing with Wiseman. And look, Kuminga is somebody that if he can defend, he can play. If he can defend without making catastrophic errors, you know, with turnovers and you know, low IQ plays, if he can avoid the pitfalls of a young player, you know, and the mistakes that come with being a young player, and he can defend at a high level, some positional versatility, then he'll be out there. and he'll get an opportunity. But, again, I think a part of that, too, was a rotation slot opened up tonight because Damian Lee was unavailable and Steve Kerr wanted to reward him. So I think that's a good thing for him. I think, you know, look, Wiseman's going to play. Like, nobody said Wiseman's not going to play. But when you start talking about guys that are going to play, you know, 25, 30 minutes, like, there aren't enough minutes to go around with respect to having everybody playing all the time. But no, Steve Kerr has always been somebody that's going to find minutes for players, you know, and keep his rotation moving so certain players can get fresh. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson inside Chase Center. Warriors win tonight 119-93. So this team now 11-1, and a real good win for the Warriors tonight when you look at the way they were able to flip the game around, get back in it with a big second quarter, 28-16, and then take control of it and basically end it going to the fourth quarter, although Steph Curry was able to get some run in that fourth quarter, get up to the 40-point plateau, and the Warriors walk out of Chase Center tonight where they're going to hit the road for the next four with the best record in the NBA. 888-957-9570. Mentioned this nugget that I did want to pass along at StatMuse, on Twitter, had this toward the end of the game. It was a pretty interesting nugget. Every Warriors player with a negative plus-minus from last season, either no longer on the team or currently not playing on the team. And you run through Oubre, obviously the headliner with respect to that, minus 189 a year ago. Wiseman was a minus 183. Obviously, he's not playing due to the injury. Eric Paschal traded to Utah. He was a minus 113. Nico Mannion took his lumps, minus 76. Alan Smailagic, Marquise Chris. Brad Wanamaker was cast aside when the Warriors had an opportunity around the trade deadline. And even Jordan Bell in very, very limited time toward the end of the year was a net minus three. Every one of those players, and I think this goes to the Warriors' credit, and you know, with the exception of Wiseman, who obviously isn't going anywhere, and the Warriors are going to count on him to be you know, in a better place, in a better fit, in a better role, with a more cohesive team around him once he returns. They read the room on the players that they had and made adjustments. And everybody knew, I think, from the end of March that Kelly Oubre Jr. wasn't coming back. And, you know, you look at, they picked players that they thought could come back and help. You know, Damian Lee came back and played. They went and they got Iguodala, who's always been a positive player. How much did he have left in the tank? He looks like he's got a lot more than he did last year left in the tank to come back and play for this Warriors team. And he obviously knows the system like a coach on the floor. Bielitsa and Porter, bigs that can shoot. JTA proved himself last year to be a positive player when he played. He's somebody that you decide to keep. So you just look at the way the Warriors did, I think, a reflective look in the mirror at what they had, and they made some smart decisions as far as maybe who wasn't going to be a part of it, and then to the greater extent who was going to be a part of it, and they kept the handful of players that were positives for them last year, and they wound up moving on from the guys that weren't, and those guys that they've brought in have just come in and fit. Gary Payton II, another guy that's, you know, a positive player for this team that brings some versatility. All right, 888-957-9570. We'll hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr. We'll also hear from Kevon Looney, another nice night for Kevon Looney. And we'll also hear a little bit from Jonathan Kuminga as well. Good run for Kuminga. Really probably the most productive that he's been to this point in his young career. We'll get into that. More time for some phone calls as well. It's John Dickinson inside Chase Center. It's Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Curry, low with the dribble, ridden by Cook, bumped by Cook, shot up and in. It did not matter. It did not matter.
Now back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
All right, back inside Chase Center, John Dickinson with you here, 888-957-9570. Warriors 119, Bulls 93. So the Bulls now 8-4. Warriors improved to an NBA best 11-1, their seventh consecutive win to wrap up the homestand, 7-1 after dropping the first one to the Grizzlies. A 40-point night for Stephen Curry. We'll hear from Steph coming up here a little bit later on in this segment. A couple of text messages to get to, a couple of things that were the 510 asking about Bazemore's plus minus from last year, because I had the nugget with respect to all the negative plus minus players from the Warriors last season, either no longer with the team or currently not playing in the case of James Wiseman. Kent Bazemore was a plus 2.5 average for the year. And look, the Warriors wanted to keep Kent Bazemore, but Kent Bazemore chose to go to the Lakers. And I think it, you know, Bazemore was a high risk, high reward kind of a player. Like, there were nights where he was really impactful, and then there were nights where he didn't have it, and there were some, you know, clumsy errors and turnovers and bad shots and things. I think, you know, he was a productive player and a player the Warriors really needed last year that helped guide them, especially down the stretch. But I think they've found that, hey, they can get, you know, they can get some of what Bazemore did from Damian Lee, and they can get a lot of it from a guy like Gary Payton II in terms of the ability to defend at a high level. And, you know, Jordan Poole needed some guard minutes to be opened up. And then, you know, Klay Thompson was going to be coming back at some point. So they made the decision to move on and restructure a little bit of what they had. And then don't forget, you got Moses Moody behind those guys that's going to be kind of waiting in the wings. You bring Iguodala back, who's a wing and somebody that can also handle the basketball and be that calming influence that Steve Kerr always talks about on offense. Well, being a great defender and a ball mover and everything else. And I think the Warriors believe that, you know, for Kent Bazemore being gone, they maybe improved in two or three other areas as far as that bench, to where they could offset that. As far as some of the young players, we did have a texter taking some exception to Priest talking about all the young players. And yeah, young versus inexperienced. I mean, you look at a guy like Juan Toscano-Anderson and Gary Payton II, older players in terms of, you know, where they are for their experience level. So it's not like this is, you know, a bunch of 20 and 21-year-old kids that are out there playing. But regardless, look, the experience and the toughness and the edge, I think in particular, that guys like JTA and Payton II bring to the table, that's beneficial. Like, you'd rather have players that have a little something to them, that have been through the rigors of trying to claw out an NBA career for themselves. That brings an intensity to your team. And I think that's the one thing, you know, you look at the Warriors having an identity. They're playing at a tremendous pace offensively. They're shooting more three-pointers. The offense has better flow. It looks more like the great Warrior teams of the dynasty years in terms of the style of play and the way they want to try and get it done. And then defensively, I mean, they're flying around, they're rugged, and they also have a little bit of an edge to them. Like guys that'll get on the ground, guys that'll scrap, guys that aren't afraid to mix it up. And so I think while offensively you can say, you know, they're still a work in progress and they've got Steph who makes them a good offensive team in a lot of ways kind of on his own, this is a gritty team. This is an edgy team. This is a team I think the Warriors fan base, you know, really is enjoying, you know, watching them play and watching them grind. And then you've got the young players who are working, you know, on the back end trying to earn minutes. And a guy like Jonathan Kuminga steps in because there is some rotation minutes and because maybe he earned it at practice. And there's just a real strong vibe for this Warriors team at this point. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, following this one as the Warriors beat the Bulls tonight 119-93. Here's the head coach.
Steve, you guys went 7-1 on this homestand. What were the high points for you about how your team got these wins?
I think in general, the high point is, establishing our home floor, that this is going to be a tough place to come win a game. And a lot of that is the way we're playing. A lot of that is our fans, the energy in the building. There's a really good vibe about the team. The fans feel it. And so it's exciting. So great way to kind of start the year. But now we got to go out on the road and it's going to get a lot tougher. But we obviously are, you know, very happy to be where we are.
I don't want to say surprised, but, you know, were you kind of surprised about how dominant all these wins are? I mean, all seven were by double digits. I mean, you kind of cruised all home.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of them have been tough games for a long period of time. I thought the first half felt like a playoff game tonight. Chicago's fast, obviously playing, without one of their best players in Vucevic. You know, they were down a man. So I think their depth was hurt, and that's what allowed us to wear them down. But I feel like during this homestand, we had a lot of these games that were close for a long time, and our defense really kind of wore on people, and that's a great sign because you've got to be able to rely on your defense to win tough games.
Steve, you guys have done this a few times over the past few years, and that is in the third quarter, something clicks, and you guys build leads and extend leads. Tonight, you win by 18 in the third quarter. It's becoming a habit again. Can you put your finger on what's happening in the third quarter where you guys are able to, like, create separation?
Just incredible halftime adjustments from the coaching staff. That's the main thing. I don't know. You know, I think we have so much continuity with our guys, Steph and Draymond and Loon, Andre coming back. Obviously, Wiggs has now been here a few years. So I think they get a really good feel for their opponent in the first half. And they just have a sense of how to stifle a team defensively. It's always been the key to our third quarter runs over the years. It's the defense that triggers the offense. And I thought that was the case again tonight.
I wanted to ask you about two aspects of Kuminga's night tonight. First, you put him on DeRozan. What did you think of him on DeRozan?
Other than the first pump fake that he bit on, did a great job. DeRozan's the kind of guy you just have to make earn his points, and he's going to score just because of, you know, talented he is. You just want to make it as inefficient as possible. And I thought Jonathan did that. He stayed on him. He didn't bite on the fakes after the first one. DeRozan made a couple jumpers over the top, but all in all, I thought he did a really good job.
Then the other thing, in the fourth, you had him up top with the ball, Steph setting screens. What do you like, especially, looking into the future potentially with him, what do you like about that type of action?
Well, I think one of Jonathan's strengths as a rookie is his passing ability. You saw it in the summer league, and we saw it in training camp before he got hurt. He's got a good knack for driving and kicking, finding shooters, and so we decided to go to that action just to see if we could get him into some space. And he got into space, made some really nice plays, and got downhill a couple times, got to the rim and hammered home dunks. It was really exciting. He's really earned the minutes he's getting. He had a great scrimmage yesterday in our 4-on-4 that we played with the young guys. His attitude, his approach over the last week, you have to remember he missed 3 weeks. So he basically missed most of camp. And so he was swimming upstream a little bit. And I think over the last week, he's made huge strides and we wanted to reward him.
Do you feel like it could be minutes in the next few games, or is it still kind of outside looking in a little bit?
As long as he goes out there and runs the floor and plays defense and takes care of the ball and passes like he did tonight, and we're going to continue to give him opportunities. It'll be a day-to-day, week-to-week thing, depending on how he's doing, depending on the health of our team. We need him to develop, and we want to do it in a healthy way. If that means there's a night where he goes to Santa Cruz and plays 35 minutes to get extra time, I think that's still a possibility. That's always a possibility. And in the meantime, he's just got to keep doing what he's doing. He's really made a lot of strides in the last week.
Steph and Draymond have this thing where, they read each other's minds. I mean, we can see it. It happened a couple of times today where, they didn't have to talk. It just happens. Is it too simple to say that just happens over years of playing together? Is it more to it than that?
It's also two guys who are really smart basketball players, but you can't overstate the importance of the continuity and what they've built together here, over the last decade. It's pretty incredible to watch them work together.
And are you at all a little bit worried about Loon logging these minutes? I mean, there are times when he looks like he's kind of laboring out there.
I check in with him every day. He's been great all season, and maybe the best thing is that he's healthy and feeling great. So he's just been fantastic. His defense, his toughness, he gives us a grit and an edge, and the verticality at the rim, great screener. Loon's really a fine player, and it's fun to see him healthy. I know I've said it many times, but it's one of my favorite guys just because of the way he carries himself and approaches every single day. He's just a rock solid guy who's part of the foundation of this group.
Hello, coach. Congratulations on the win. Your overall defense decision is really, really good. And you have a very big progress than last season. How could you explain that? And what are the aspects that you improve a lot this season on defensive end?
The defensive improvement?
Yes.
We were pretty good last year, too. We had the fifth-ranked defense in the league last year. But I think this year, the addition of Andre, his return, along with, having Gary Payton playing a prominent role, has given us two all-world defenders to add to the mix. And, Draymond is always the key to everything we do, and he anchors the defense, he and Loon. I think Steph is having an outstanding defensive season. We've been at it for a lot of years, so we have continuity, but we've added some excellent players too.
Coach, obviously the schedule is going to even out over the course of the year, but for a team with so many new pieces, some young guys, are you happy that it wasn't helpful to have this stretch of the season with the long homestand, some favorable opponents early in the year as opposed to later?
Yeah, I think with this team, Colin, it was favorable to play all these home games and get off to a quick start out of the gates and build some confidence, build some rhythm. We've kind of found some rotations, patterns that we like. And it was, with some new guys, it was definitely helpful to have the homestand to start out.
All right, so Steve Kerr there, back here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson inside Chase Center as you listen to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Station, brought to you by DuckDuckGo, Privacy Simplified. A couple of things Steve Kerr touching on there, including Jonathan Kuminga's scrimmage and practice yesterday, which led to him getting an opportunity a little bit on DeRozan, and Steve Kerr saying that Kuminga's made huge strides and sort of echoed what I was talking about here just a few minutes ago. He can play a little bit if he defends and moves the ball and doesn't, you know, turn over the rock and make some kind of, you know, some of the young bonehead kind of plays that come along with just, you know, being a young player trying to find your way in the NBA. And it sounds like it's not necessarily going to be an every night thing as far as Kuminga, but if somebody's out of the rotation, he's the type of player that you can throw out there and give him a few minutes here and there and help his development and use it as an extension of the work that he's getting done behind the scenes. And tonight I think you saw really a seamless fit. You know, he earned the right to go in there and play, and he played, and you know, it was a good run. I think the most effective that he's been to this point in his young career. A lot of text messages coming in at 888-957-9570 with respect to the Warriors maybe needing another big man. Multiple texts with respect to that. And I know Monty Poole of NBC Sports Bay Area asked about Kevon Looney maybe laboring a little bit. I know Steve Kerr does continue to say that Looney is healthy. And tonight was another really strong night for Kevon Looney. Couple of good games in a row. Another double-digit rebounding night for Looney. And he just tends to do all the little things. But as far as another big, the other big is Wiseman. As far as, you know, this team has their roster spots filled, and, you know, for as much as we've discussed, you know, how much can Wiseman help and where will his game be, he's coming back at some point here in the next few weeks. And, you know, is he going to be playing 25, 30 minutes a night? Probably not, but he is going to be playing probably in the 12 to 15 minute range, at least right off the top. And the Warriors are going to, you know, that'll take some minutes away from Looney here and there. They'll try and match him up, I think, in areas where he can be effective on both ends. And that will help in terms of adding some size. So I don't think it's necessarily go out and find a big from the outside, because if you go out and you find a big from the outside, then that means, well, that guy's going to play because you wouldn't have gone out and got him, you know, to not play. And then what do you do with Wiseman at this point? So I think for all those out there asking about maybe the potential for another big, The big is the young fella. The big is the second-year man that's going to be returning from injury here in the next couple of weeks. And I think he's going to be set up to not have to be asked to do too much, but also be a nice fit and balance to what they've established with Kevon Looney, and then Bielitsa obviously being the stretch big that's been the first man in for Looney on a lot of these nights. So I think, you know, you look at establishing the home floor, another thing Steve Kerr talked about, really important. And I think the Warriors did that last year, even when there were no fans in the building for the better part of the season. They were really good at home last year. And you look at them off to an 8-1 start here in their first 9 home games. You go opening night, you throw that one in against the Clippers, that close win, and the 7-1 homestand. So 8-1 at home, 3-0 on the road, and they'll hit the road for the next 4, looking to keep the momentum rolling with the best record in the NBA. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We got your Steph Curry 3-point update coming up here in just a moment, but right now let's go ahead and head downstairs once again inside the Bill King interview room, where Stephen Curry, fresh off his 40-point ball game, addressed the media after this one.
Steph, you guys went 7-1 on this homestand. What are your biggest takeaways?
Took care of business. You know, defensively, we were really solid for all 8 games.
You know, we had different guys step up every night. We found pretty solid rotation for the most part. Even got some young guys in there. JK and Moog got some good minutes, and JK tonight was awesome. So still trying to find opportunities for everybody, still trying to find an identity of, you know, how we're going to win and everybody being comfortable in their roles and all of that. But we're winning and learning, you know, on the fly, you know, with some really good momentum. So I was proud of the way, like, for eight games, like, it's hard to stay locked in, you know, with the routine kind of monotony of every other day you're doing the same thing. So it was really impressive, you know.
You guys are homestand. You guys have been propelled by some really big third quarters as well. Why have those been the most explosive quarters?
I don't want to say because I don't want it to change. I don't want to give it away. Endurance, like the physicality of how we play defensively and offensively, it is hard to maintain that pace and all that for the entire game. It has something to do with it, but teams are starting to realize how we're playing and they come out really locked in and focused in the first half. You stick with the game plan and for the most part, you know, keep making them take tough shots, and we have good possessions and keep our turnovers reasonable, then good things happen.
You weren't feeling that well, like middle of the homestand, early in the homestand. I mean, your point totals were, you know, 19, 18, that range. You've gone 40, 25, 50 the last three games. Are you starting yourself to catch more of a rhythm?
For sure. Follows kind of the usual pattern of how I start seasons. And a lot of it, too, is just, you know, staying aggressive, locked in on how I'm trying to get off, you know, most nights, but working through our system and the offense and not really worrying about the output. It's just about trying to find ways to win games and create momentum, and usually good things happen. That's how I usually focus on it. And the recovery from game to game feels, you know, solid. Getting used to the rotation that we're settled in for right now, those type of things. Every game continues to move in the right direction.
Steve had you set a couple high screens for Kuminga in the fourth. One of them, you know, he got downhill scored on. Do you find yourself thinking, like, well, this could be a tool to use the next few years?
For sure. I think getting him reps just out there, no matter really what the lineup is, but giving him opportunities to showcase, you know, his athleticism, his skill set. He made a pass to Moody in the corner down the stretch of the game. That shows like his capability of being a downhill threat, but also having options and getting, you know, guys open looks. So hopefully keep, you know, have opportunities to keep showcasing that and understand what that pace and rhythm and feel, you know, is really like out there on the floor with, you know, the normal rotation guys.
Steph, I don't know how much attention you pay to numbers, team numbers, but your third quarter defensive rating is 82, which is pretty ridiculous. Are you guys making tightening up defense and cleaning up things on the fly? Does something happen at halftime? Or, I mean, what do you think is the reason behind the third quarter terrorizing? You mentioned some of it earlier, but
you make adjustments throughout the game, try to keep the, you know, their normal pattern, the, you know, opposing team's normal patterns, kind of keep them off guard, keep them on their heels. But it's just focus and intention and effort that you have to sustain over the course of 48 minutes. We've done a pretty good job in that. I didn't know, you know, the numbers, but I talked to Mike B during the game, and it's, you know, sometimes you have those offensive lows and it feels like you can't make a shot or things are kind of slow. But then you realize like the other team has scored in four possessions, and that's when you start to really understand you're maintaining that momentum, control of the game. So it's just effort, to be honest, like, and a willingness for everybody on the court to sustain that for 48 minutes.
Yeah, and you look at the third quarters, it's been unbelievable. The 82 in terms of defensive rating, they're a plus 106 in 12 games in third quarters to this point in the season. So, I mean, you do the math on that. I mean, they're obliterating teams in the third quarters, and there's been some extra dominant ones, a la tonight, 35-17, the 41-20 against the Hawks on Monday. And this team's been able to make the adjustments, recommit and focus. However they're doing it, it is a lot like some of the teams of years past in terms of their propensity to do that. Speaking of years past, Warriors 11-1, which is their best start since the 24-0 start at the beginning of the 2015-16 season. So the Warriors with the best record in the NBA and their best start now at 11-1 since the 24-0, which is, man, hard to believe, 6 years ago now. But the Warriors are right there at 11-1. Also, the Warriors with the 7-1 homestand, the best mark in franchise history for a homestand of that length. Another unbelievable night for Stephen Curry, his third 40-point game, the only player with three 40-plus point games on the season. And another little nugget I had just overall for the Warriors tonight from three-point range, 15 of 46. So they knocked down 15 threes in the ball game tonight. The Warriors did that for the seventh time, 15 or more from three-point range. They've won all seven games when they've done that. And the Warriors now overall, if you want to flip it back to the end of the regular season a year ago, they have won 26 of their last 32 regular season games. Time now for the Steph Curry three-point update, which is brought to you by Masterclass. Steph, 9 three-pointers tonight, so that brings his total to 64 threes this season. Just another incredible night for Stephen Curry as he continues to be the early leader in terms of the MVP across the NBA. But yeah, he upped that percentage from 38.5 to an even 40% with the 9 of 17. Now 64 for 160. Again, an even 40%. Masterclass lets you learn from over 100 world-class instructors anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Get 15% off your annual membership at masterclass.com/the game. All right, that'll do it for me. Back with you, quick turnaround tomorrow. Warriors this week with Whitey Gleason sitting in for Nick Friedel. Friedel on the way to Charlotte, and that's where the Warriors are going to be on the way to Charlotte tomorrow. They'll take on the Hornets coming up on Sunday. We'll have that for you on 95.7 The Game. So join me tomorrow at 9. Nick's going to join us for an hour as well once he gets settled in Charlotte. But we'll be on 9 to 1 here tomorrow on 95.7 The Game. And then I'll be back with you with Whitey Gleason for Warriors Live on Sunday afternoon, 2:30 Warriors Live. Warriors and the Charlotte Hornets, first of the four-game roadie. Warriors in Charlotte, then Brooklyn, Cleveland, and Detroit before the next home game a week from Sunday. The Toronto Raptors will be at Chase Center then. Thanks to Sterling Bennett and everybody else inside our San Francisco studios. Great job. We appreciate the help of one and all. I'll talk to you tomorrow, 9 a.m. Keep it locked right here on 95.7 The Game, where the Warriors beat the Bulls tonight 119-93. Good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.